Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everyone. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden. Chuck and Julie Show, two straight up, back from Arizona.
Back from Arizona.
And brought to you by...
Party Friday. And we'll extend in a minute. We'll explain. We definitely need a Party Friday. Yeah, the show brought to you by Rocky Mountain Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine, HappyTrees.co, and Denver Cynogenics, and Dr. Julie McCallan. We don't have any guests today. We got back late last night. Here's why we need a Party Friday. So we had a wonderful trip. Chuck did a great job booking all kinds of great golf courses. It was a lot of fun in Phoenix. We came home and to find that a pipe had burst in our living room or somewhere, and it flooded our living room. Thank God.
Good things come from that.
Tim Smith, if anybody, and he's not an advertiser or a sponsor, mm-hmm. He's a longtime friend, but if anybody ever has... I think Tim Smith and his partner Dominic are freaking amazing. I called Tim, and it's like an army invaded in our house, and they're getting everything taken care of. Great. But you know,
working with insurance companies.
They're just, they've said, don't you talk to them. They've got apps for everything. It's been so I mean, I'm serious. If you guys ever have anything happen, call these guys or call me and I'll help you get in touch with them. But you know, it's one thing after another. So they're getting all the water drying, the carpet drying, blah, blah, blah. Then they're like, oh, there's water in the crawl space.
Don't go into that, Julie.
Okay. All right. Well, let's just say I get this text.
Don't go into it.
Don't go into. Okay. In case insurance company is listening.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
We need a party Friday. This from Sandra. Oh no. Sorry to hear about that. How awful. Hopefully not too much damage. No. We're in the what they call the mitigation phase, Sandra.
And then you go to the restoration phase.
Then you go to the restoration phase.
Much more.
Then you go into the bank robbing phase.
And then you go to the bankruptcy phase.
Yeah, and then you go to the bankruptcy phase. But anyway, hey, we will survive. And again, these guys are absolutely amazing. Wanted to start off talking about it. I was kind of teasing the show, saying, you know, if you were... And want you guys to weigh in, no guests. So feel free, if you're joining us on Zoom, to open up your mic if you want to talk or put in the comments there. Or if you're listening and want to call in, 888-627-6008. Oh, and before I go any further, I should want to thank Mark Poff. I hear he did a wonderful
Great job.
As always.
Thank
I'm
you.
Trying to convince him to get his own show. And he's
don't do that.
Yeah, he's a busy guy. Yeah, I know. Then he couldn't fill in for us, right?
Please, no.
He's a busy guy. But anyway, if you were a betting person, where would you put the odds of Alvin Bragg actually indicting Donald Trump? It seems like he was on the verge of it. And I don't know whether Trump actually had some advanced word and then Trump and all of the stuff that's come out has backed him off. I don't know if Trump was an evil genius and by texting about it, stirred everything up and raised all these expectations and Bragg maybe, I don't know what, but I mean, the case, looking at it, seems to be, at first there never was a case, okay, let's start there. But the little case that he was trying to make seems to be falling apart. Not that that would make any difference necessarily, because there was never any case to begin with. But then in the meantime, so the grand jury, he canceled the meeting. He canceled the next meeting. It's not clear if they're going to meet next week or not. And meanwhile, Trump is holding a rally tomorrow. So, I mean, let me read some of the comments. Jacob says Alvin Bragg will fail. He says Trump knew what the exculpatory evidence was, like the Daniels letter. And then Sandra Bragg is a POSDA. Mm-hmm. There's that.
Soros, piece of shit.
Right. Well, so you want to, how about that? You go first. And I mean, what do you think? Will he indict? Let's do that first. And then we could talk, because we wanted to sort of, Chuck being a lawyer and me having covered many lawyers, so I'm practically like a lawyer.
Jailhouse lawyer.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like a jailhouse lawyer. I'll tell you what I think about the case too. And again, with the caveat that none of this makes any sense and it's all political anyway. So not that reason or law or, you know, the reasonable likelihood of a conviction has anything to do with anything. But what do you think in terms of an indictment coming down?
50-50. I mean, I think he's delayed it, which means he's having trouble with the grand jury. If you're having trouble with the grand jury, then it can be hard to convince them that oh yeah, I was right all the time.
And that's what, but it's hard to, it's, if you're having trouble with the grand jury, that's a really bad sign, because right. The grand jury really only hears like your side of it.
Yes,
right.
Yes. Particularly, he's been cherry picking emails and everything else, and really, everybody's calling him a big fat piece of blob, and he can't stand that, and he's Soros chosen, and he's awful. He's just awful as a lawyer. He's awful as a DA. And if he can't convince the grand jury, he's really probably going to have problems with the regular jury.
Yeah.
But it you know, if trust in the institutions is one of the phrases you hear a lot now. And so trust in the justice system, I don't think it could be at a greater low.
Well, and here's from Dr. Donna. Chuck hit it spot on. Jacob says, if Bragg has to go in front of Congress, I'd like to hear two questions. How much is Bragg into Soros? And yeah. Is Soros running the show? And then he says, Kathy Hochul may have to fire Bragg before there's more egg in New York's face. Yeah, I think there.
Before they fire Kathy Hochul.
Before they fire. I think a couple of things. I think one, obviously, that I'm not sure why he presented the exculpatory evidence. I guess because
he didn't present the exculpatory.
Well, he had that lawyer go in. He had the old Trump's former, Cohen's former lawyer go in, who said Cohen was a serial liar, right?
Yeah, but he didn't. You know, he would not have put him in there for the purpose of hurting his case.
But it did hurt his case. Well, maybe we only know what the lawyer told us he said, right? So that's true. Although it might have backfired. And sometimes in grand juries, as I understand it, the jurors can ask questions too.
Yes.
That can be, and that's bad if you're the DA, if you go, oh, no, got to go now. Sorry, no more questions, right? I think then the publicity that came out, and that Bragg knew this, and then the FEC, Federal Election Commission, knew this because they had the letter from several years ago where Cohen's lawyer wrote the federal and at the FEC and said, Cohen did this all on his own. Trump had no knowledge. Now, whether that's true or not, who knows? But you got that letter, so you have that, and you have him making this claim assertion to the FEC, right? And now he's turning around. So I think a couple things. I mean, all of the polls show, like, pretty much everybody, whether they'd like to see Trump indicted or not, agrees that it's just political. Another poll came out. This, I think, is interesting because I agree with Jacob. I want to know who's kind of pulling the strings, if anyone, and we kind of disagree on this. Mm-hmm. But like, some 74% of the people surveyed across the board felt that indicting Trump would either A, have no impact on him at all, or B, actually help him in his election campaign, and which I think is probably true. So we can talk about the case itself in a second, but in terms of who's pulling the strings, you don't think anyone's pulling the strings. You think this is just him and his ego.
Not his ego. I mean, he was elected. He ran on a platform as saying, I will indict Trump, without even knowing what
the crime. Yeah.
Exactly. Beria's famous statement. No, he's running his own S show. And there's nobody really to control him. I mean, Soros is too old and doesn't really get into the weeds. Kathy Hochul doesn't, go anywhere. So there's nobody there to. Well, but the one problems he has is the prosecutors in his own office. Two of which quit when they weren't going to indict Trump. And so he obviously has a lot of politically activated prosecutors who want Trump
indicted.
Others don't. And so he's got troubles everywhere.
Right. I disagree with that. And see what you guys think, weigh in on this. I think that he, given the political nature of this whole thing, and given the power of the donor class and sort of the uniparty people who are, and the Obama, the people I think are actually running the Democratic Party, I think that there is a Democrat Party. I think there is a debate going on as to whether or not they think this would hurt Trump or help Trump. And I think maybe that's why he canceled it, because I think he's being controlled by those people. Somewhere along the line, he's got political ambitions. He's going to need donors. He's going to need Democrat support. And I don't see him, if all the other Democrats at the little cocktail party say, no, God, no, please don't indict Trump. It's going to backfire. It's going to hurt us. And he's like, no, I'm going to do it. I don't really see that happening. Democrats don't really normally work that way. I guess I'm just
it,
more.
It looks like he spends more time at the lunch counter than a cocktail party.
We'll play that. Well, all right. But anyway, I think that that's what's going on also. I think they're trying to decide which would help, because it's all about trying to defeat Trump, right? It has nothing to do with crimes or illegal or not what activities or anything like that. It all has to do with attacking Trump. Now, and they may feel that they've accomplished their purpose just talking about it. But I think, again, the surveys that are coming out, no one seems to think, not no one, but very few people seem to think that Trump actually did anything wrong. I mean, and so let's talk a little bit about the law. The law itself is weird. So he's charging, what essentially he's saying is that Cohen paid Stormy Daniels this money and that Trump should have, if somehow or another, he didn't write it off correctly as a business expense, right?
Misreporting a business.
Misreporting a business expense, which is a weird misdemeanor in which the statute of limitations is already passed.
That's exactly right. So how the heck do you do that one? And then they try to lap on to a federal campaign finance laws, which he's not entitled to enforce.
Right.
And that would be, they tried that against John Edwards and failed. But there he took it from his campaign funds. It does not seem it came from Trump's campaign funds. So it's hard to latch on to a federal statute.
Well, and I mean, I've never seen a case where in court, and you're the lawyer, but they combine a state case where the statute of limitations is expired.
Right.
And they're trying to wiggle around it saying, well, he did it in the furtherance of this other crime. So,
right.
But you can't, and you have to go either state or federal. You can't combine them, right? Because the jurors have to be ordered to follow. I mean, if you want to try a federal case, you have to go into a federal court, right?
Well, so, federal criminal case. Yeah.
Right. So he's trying something that's never been done before. So to me, that in and of itself says he's not really serious about actually filing charges.
Well,
he just wants all of the attention.
Pictures on the news every day. He's very serious about it.
Well, you think? I mean, mm-hmm. You think it's not just political? You think it was? It's just not because I know what the
well, now serious now, means that his reputation is at stake. Not that the crime is serious or the legal basis is serious. It's that serious. It reflects on his political future.
Right. And you got to wonder, does he fulfill those expectations by simply indicting him? And who cares if he convicts or not? I think he wants a conviction, right?
Well, yeah, most people do not. Most attorneys do not. District attorneys do not want an innocent plea as the end.
But then he can blame the jury, right?
Blaming the jury is not a great thing for DA.
No. Okay. And then Charlene says desperation. Somewhere a village is from Jim. Somewhere a village is missing. It's idiot.
Yeah.
Cohen's lawyer, Robert Costello, talked about Cohen's credibility. He doesn't have any credibility. You would hate to be a straw right now with all the grabbing at straws. Yeah. And that's what I'm going to go with. I think it's not quite 50-50. I think it's probably more like 60-40 that he will not indict.
A big difference.
No, it's not. I mean, because like I said, I don't think there's very much consideration given to the actual quality of the case, right? I think it's all it just has to do with politics. And I think
a lot of cases have to do with politics.
But this one has solely to do with politics. I mean, there's not even, they had to make up a crime, right? They had to make up some weird thing. I think this is all about politics. And I think that the polls will have a lot more to do with whether he indicts him than
no,
the actual criminal code.
It's how he'll turn out. That's all he cares about.
He turns out. Yeah. So you don't think anybody's going to be leaning on him saying,
no.
You're screwing us over here, Alvin?
No. Okay. Well, he could turn on them.
Well, that's true. He could. Want to play, though. Jack Posobiec has been kind of apparently bullying him. Bullying
yes,
Alvin.
Bullying.
So I want to play you, Alvin Bragg, making the announcement. This is satire, guys. This is satire. And Twitter actually did not take it down. They just said, please note, this is satire. So this is Alvin Bragg making a big announcement, satire, next week. If we could please play the Bragg satire soundbite.
Just for me, but for all New Yorkers and all Americans. Ever since I was a young man, it was my dream to be an attorney, to stand for the law and put criminals behind bars, to focus on the victims of crimes, to bring diversity to the community, to make a difference. That's what makes this so very, very difficult. So I'm just going to say it. It is with an extremely heavy heart that I must announce that the New York District Attorney's Office, after an extensive, thorough investigation, has decided to drop all charges against Donald Trump. Furthermore, due to my deteriorating mental health, both as a result of the stress of the case, as well as Jack Posobiec's relentless attack and bullying against me, targeting my weight and repeatedly calling me Fat Alvin, implying I'm a member of the Chipmunks. For the record, I am not. I hereby resign from my position as the District Attorney of New York. Now, if you excuse me, I'm off to go indulge in some very delicious chocolate vanilla swirl pudding and eat my
food. That's amazing.
His lip movement is like the Japanese kind of dubbing, only better.
Yeah, wow, that was impressive.
So, I think you want to talk about, so again, I guess they've now subpoenaed one of Trump's lawyers. They're trying to get him for mishandling the classified documents. That's going to go down the tubes. I mean, I think even, I don't know, even MSNBC, now I'm going on a limb here, might have to say, you know, if we can't do it to Trump, if we're not going to
do it to Pence, we're not going to do it to Biden,
right? I mean, I don't know, maybe not. Maybe they're so far gone, they don't care, right? I mean, there is that. So you've got that going on. I mean, they're every which way, they're trying to do this to him. And I think, number one, there's so much of it, and all of it is kind of weird, vague. It's like, so wait, he what? And it apparently backfired on Ron DeSantis when he tried to say, well, I don't know what goes into paying hush money to a porn star. And so he was taking a swipe back at Trump, which I think was stupid on his part, because it kind of levels that playing field.
But
there are so many, legal attacks on Trump. They keep going after him. Like we keep saying, it's like the Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner, right? Beep, beep. Every time he gets away and they don't care, they come back with something else. And after a while, I got to think that the average person just doesn't even care anymore. And all it does, if you're a Trump supporter, is piss you off.
Well, it proves that he's been and it's true, has been targeted by law enforcement, DOJ, really from the day he got into office. In fact, he walked on the elevator.
Right. Well, and this from Charlene, funny satire, Posobiec is fearless. Sandra says, fantastic. And Charlene said, isn't that AI something? And then Stephen, did Susan Rice or Obama make the call to Bragg to tell him to go after Trump? Yeah, I think he was already promising. But this is where Chuck and I differ. I'm waiting to see if Obama or Susan Rice give him a call to say, hello, we're just thinking you have a really weak case, not saying you what to do or anything like that, but just saying you have a really weak case. And I'm wondering if he comes out and holds some news conference where he goes on and on about, you know, how awful Trump is and how he could have won the case, but he's decided not to for democracy or something like that, you know?
Maybe he just goes quietly into the night.
Well, now that happens to grand juries too, right? It's just like, oh, they just kind of keep investigating. And then, the mainstream media will get the email to say, you know, don't cover it anymore, right? Everybody just forget about it. Because you can't keep track of all the cases they have going after him. From Jacob, I think the Mar-a-Lago deal was to get the document or ledgers from Trump. Those ledgers show who and how much the politicians were greased by Trump and all the New York developers to get the properties developed. Yeah, there's that.
They get that from the mafia records anyway.
Yeah. I think the Mar-a-Lago thing, I think that was just an attempt to embarrass him.
It's an attempt to charge him everything's politicized, but National Archives. And then it turns out everybody has these documents. And of course, Hillary Clinton was some massive more where she just stored them at her.
Right.
Server and stuff.
She just beat the phones with a hammer.
And then they say, well, no reasonable prosecutor would take the case. I mean, it really, there is no trust in the Department of Justice or the judicial system, and there shouldn't be.
Well, and Jim makes that point. The undecided or uninformed voters are going to start to get a clue that they don't want the swamp drained. Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, and I don't know how these polls necessarily who they, it's a Trafalgar poll.
Is right wing.
Okay. Well, so they've got some. It's kind of a right leaning poll. But to me, I would bet that most people, again, if you're the MSNBC crowd, I think at this point, you're less worried about Trump being found not guilty than you are about him using this to his advantage. I mean, I think anymore that Donald Trump wants them to arrest him.
All right, let's go to Sherry from Lakewood on two. Hey, Sherry.
Hey, Sherry.
Hi. So I'll just give you a different perspective. Since you guys were gone, you probably didn't do a lot of Twitter. But there is a Lieutenant Colonel Ricardo Bossi, B-O-S-I, and his take on it is that it is what do they call it? Predictive programming. Just like with the papers that they found down at at what is it, Key
Mar-a-Lago?
Anyway, they're saying that that got us ready. Like the people were so asleep that it got people ready for the fact that, oh, now we found papers at Pence's, or now we found papers at Biden's. Look at all the boxes of papers we found. Well, the arrest is getting people ready. And this is the hopeful part, but this is what he says, because if they can arrest Trump, they can arrest Obama. They can arrest Hillary. They can arrest some of these other people.
They don't, though.
But yeah, do you? I mean, here's the only thing. But that would be great. Right, but do you think... I don't see the Justice Department doing that. What do you think?
It kind of depends who's really in control back there.
Democrats? And, Obama?
Yeah, but Charlene is...
I don't know if that's it, to tell you the truth. So
what do you think,
we'll
insurance?
See, because who would have predicted what... Okay, nothing has come yet of all those papers from Biden, but it came out that he's got boxes and boxes.
Right.
So... we'll just have to see where it goes right now. Okay. Kind of like a movie we're all in.
All right.
Charlene is agreeing with you, too. She says, yes, predictive programming is a thing. Predictive programming for arresting anybody. So it could, you know, that could be, I think, indeed, it could be bigger than all of what we've been talking about. And this is simply the swamp gearing up to arrest anybody who does anything they don't like.
What do you think January 6th was?
Well, as I'm saying, I mean, but to do it even more. Hey, Sherry, thank you for your phone call.
Thanks, Sherry.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
You know, and actually, and thinking of that, some information came out, and then we'll talk about Ukraine a little bit, switching gears a little bit. What's interesting is, I don't know if you guys saw, so the House today, Republican-controlled House passed a parental bill of rights. Also this week, information came out saying the FBI had launched a total of 25 investigations into parents who protested at school boards, right? Zero of them, only one of them actually moved beyond anything, right? And they found zero evidence of anybody doing anything bad.
But they had their interim effect. I mean,
exactly. And so they passed this parental bill of rights. There are a lot of things involved in it, and I don't want to get in the weeds. But what I did find interesting, because normally I'd be like, "Oh, that's a good thing." And then I saw that Ken Buck was one of five Republicans who voted against it. Our investigative grassroots activist, Karen Hoops, called Buck's office and said, "Why do you vote against this for?" And they said, well, because he doesn't want the federal government involved more in education. They should be involved less in education. And we should get rid of the Department of Education, which Karen commented in a text. And I agree with her. Like, that's a moronic thing to say. But also, though, this confused.
Not moronic, but in the meantime, in between time, before we can get rid of the Department of Education, you certainly don't want the laws all against us, so
right,
or against parents, so,
right?
I mean, that's
but it threw me that Matt Gaetz voted against it. I mean, you wouldn't. I mean, Ken Buck, to be honest, you're not surprised that he would vote against something that all Republicans were for.
Right.
But I don't know what to make about Matt Gaetz. So we'll look into that and let you know. You want to switch gears, talking about how we can't believe anything anybody says, Ukraine.
Yeah.
So Chuck, why don't you give us? Well, yeah, from Stephen, why do we need a Department of Education? Why do we need a Federal Reserve? Maybe Buck thinks Colorado has the gold standard. Dr. Donna, that's funny. From Dr. Donna, maybe Buck thinks Colorado has a gold standard in education also. Yeah, we'll talk about it. I know Mark did. We'll talk about the Denver School Board and the mess there. But meanwhile, Charlene's raised her hand. Hey, Charlene.
Oh, hi. Yeah. Okay. I was just going to say that I don't know if you've been following Jenna Ellis on Twitter, but, she's one of the people that caved to the Bar Association trying to disbar her for her claims about election integrity. And, you know, they also went after Giuliani and Eastman, the Kraken lady in Sydney Powell. Well, so they did not cave. And there's an excellent article on Town Hall that says, Jenna Ellis caved and saved herself, but she actually did a lot of damage to the quest for election integrity because they can use her caving as a precedent and go after anyone that makes claims that the election was electioneered in any way, you know. Well, and so anyway, it's just so funny if you want to get on our Twitter feed, because she's getting ratioed, you know, like she'll make a comment and then the likes are less than the comments, which means that everyone's against what she's saying. And so she's really taking a lot of heat because now she's switched over to DeSantis. But anyway, I just think it's great that people are giving her heat because she really did hurt the election integrity process.
And more than that, Charlene, I mean, they got, and I've seen that. Yeah, she's trying to now say, oh, I kind of like, you know, I didn't actually say that. It's not as big a deal. It's like, it is a big deal, Jenna. But I saw, I think Sidney Powell has talked a lot about how this is a tactic that they use, right? Right. That any law firm that tries to represent, say, the January 6th people are, right. I mean, it's, again, it's another form of pressure that they want to go after any lawyer / law firm that represents anybody who disagrees.
Yeah, so they'll lose their law license. Yes, right. It is just such intimidation in that, you know, I just think there should be pushback against her so people won't follow in her steps, and that we should really, you know, praise Eastman and Sidney Powell and Giuliani and let them know how much we appreciate them for standing firm.
All those above are good attorneys, and Jenny Ellis never was.
Well, look what they're doing. The Dominion folks are trying to do to Randy Corcoran, right? Yeah, I mean, it happens here, right?
Exactly. So they just need our support so much because we're winning, or they wouldn't be resorting to these commie tactics. You know, we're winning. So anyway, thanks.
All right.
Okay,
thank you.
Take care.
Those are excellent points, because it's not as if they're going to stop, right? I mean, it's not as if, so Jenna Ellis thinks that she's going to be invited to their cocktail parties now. I don't think so. You know, it's like, and I don't know her personal circumstances, but I absolutely agree. You can't cave in. And then you particularly can't cave in and then try to take it back. You can't cave in the courtroom and then walk out of the courtroom and do a news conference and try to uncave. You know what I mean? So, okay. So now on Ukraine.
Okay,
you to explain the truth of what's going on in Ukraine to all of us.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, it's clear that the Kiev government is not going to give up in Bakhmut. It's poured an incredible amount of troops into the cauldron. And I don't think Russia's going to take Bakhmut. But with all those troops there and the spring thawing out in Ukraine, they can bring heavy guns. And man, they should be able to just pinpoint where
they being who,
being the Russian, the Wagner group, you know, throw in, you know, bunker buster bombs, and there's so many soldiers in that enclosed small space that'll kill tons of them. I mean, as far as I can tell, we're told that approximately 2 months from now there'll be the counteroffensive. Their last counteroffensive was pretty
the
successful.
Ukrainians,
there are reports that they're going into Odessa and dragging, you know, anybody who looks over 12 years old or under 200 in mail.
And it's still in Ukraine. I mean, to me, my big thing on that, and we've talked about that, is it's hard to know who to believe in all of this. I mean, granted, in any kind of wartime coverage, there are always, you know, it's all propaganda, right? But this is particularly difficult. And I think it is, I think it is funny. Remember Ted Trimpum when he had him on a week ago, Friday, we said, why are we sending the Democrats for war? And he said, oh, to save democracy, we must fight Russia and get ourselves.
To prevent Hitler going into Sudetenland.
Yeah. It's like, what? We must risk a nuclear war to protect democracy. But we did find, this was Colonel Doug McGregor. I have found he seems at least to be presenting another side, right?
And he certainly does see it from the other side. And then you'll just look up his name. He's spreading misinformation. Putin
found this soundbite we're about to play on Media Matters, where they said this is totally discredited, et cetera, et cetera. But this was General or retired Colonel Doug McGregor on Tucker Carlson about a week ago. If we could please play the McGregor soundbite.
How do you think this conflict stands tonight?
Well, the Ukrainians are being crushed. Even the Washington Post and the New York Times are now finally beginning to print the truth. Their casualties are horrific. We've effectively seen the Russians destroy three separate armies built by the Ukrainians. And everyone is beginning to wonder what's really happening. The truth is coming out that this war was not started by Russia, that Russia begged us not to try and drag Ukraine into NATO. We ignored Russia, and Russia made it very clear that they were going to defend their national interest. All they wanted was neutrality for Ukraine. Americans know something else, and I think somebody said this a few years ago. It's the economy, stupid. And every Republican candidate understands that and has to win the American people over. The people in Washington are worried about their donors. The Republican candidates are worried about American voters.
Well, I mean, to see Lindsey Graham invoke Ronald Reagan, who won the Cold War with a superior economy and not with tanks, that's true. Ignore the fact that our banks are collapsing. How exactly do you think people like Graham and virtually every Republican senator, with a few honorable exceptions, how do they think we're going to afford a war against Russia and China simultaneously?
Well, it's unaffordable. It's unaffordable against Russia. You don't have to lump China with the rest of them. It's impossible. We are on the road to bankruptcy. The American people sense it. The bank bailouts are not going to happen as they did before. You know, the best thing I can think of is to say that Lindsey Graham and his peers in Washington, they're not channeling Ronald Reagan. They're channeling the Three Stooges.
You know, and he goes on to say in that, he goes, and that's just say, and, you know, Tucker Carlson says, well, what do you think would happen if we actually went to war with Russia? And he'd be like, we're in no shape. He said, our military can't recruit. Mm-hmm. All they are woke. You know, it's a joke. We've seen some of the stuff that's been happening and the way, you know, the generals and everybody react. He said, Russia is geared up and has been in a wartime mode for a year now. And he said, if Russia, you know, he said all of our sanctions did not hurt the Russian economy. And meanwhile, Biden is destroying our economy. And he said, you know, he was explaining, you know, wars take money. So I don't know. It's just interesting. But I think it's hard. It's become one of those things. It's kind of like COVID or climate change, right? You're not allowed to actually talk about the facts anymore. You only can talk about, you know, your truths or their truths. And if you get out of line, then you're, you know, I don't know. I guess you're not racist if you don't with
you're
Ukraine.
Puppet.
You're a Putin puppet. Exactly. I mean, so there's no ability to talk to facts. I mean, even, and I love Ted Trimpa, but even you said, why are you guys for this? He said, to preserve democracy. It's like, well, exactly how is this preserving democracy?
Well, then he went into World War, you know, pre-World War I. Too.
Hitler, right?
I mean, he's, you know, Ted is just a brilliant guy, and he usually can come up with these great arguments that sound very reasonable, even if you know they're insane. This one sounded insane.
Yeah, I mean, they're all starting to sound like the Greta Thunberg tweets that, you know, the world's right. going to end by 2023. It's, you know, they're just making it up. But I guess, you know, that's the whole left. And frankly, I think the Uniparty, World Economic Forum, that's their policy, right, is just to put something
out
there.
Maybe it's now Ron DeSantis' policy, who at first I was going, you know, he's not buying into it. Oh, but he quickly got the message that the Uniparty wants
the
Ukraine.
And here's from Jim. The Russians have set a trap for the Ukrainians that is slowly closing, killing thousands of Ukrainian soldiers. McGregor is the truth. Charlene says, yeah, he's good. It's amazing how much true news is getting out to the people. From Steve, Obama said, never underestimate the ability of Brandon to F things up.
Yeah.
And who is Curly, Mo, and Larry? That's true.
That was a bald one. That would be Biden.
Yeah. And then it's which out of line when I grew up was a threat with a wet noodle. Of course, my mother was a first generation American Italian. Well, you know, there's it'll just be. I mean, I don't know. I think once again, they don't care what people think. But the war is becoming increasingly, I think, unpopular because people are just like, what is going on? We don't know what's going on. And it's hard to tell that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm not sure unpopular is a word, but it is other than the fact that we just pour tens of billions, hundreds of billions. It doesn't affect us. I mean, you know, the Russians are dying, the Ukrainians are dying. The fact that we're losing, you know, all this personnel, carriers and everything else, you know, did you ever notice before?
Right.
So, you know, it'll keep on going on until something happens.
Well, they haven't declared any kind of goal, right? They just keep saying,
well, get Crimea back, you know, just.
But I mean, even Biden.
Regime change. I know.
They just say it'll last as long as it lasts.
Well, Afghanistan lasted as long as it would last. And then
right, right.
Terrific loss.
Okay. Was any other thoughts on that?
I'm just amazed that we don't get Europe to pony up more, that Germany doesn't contribute much, neither does France. And we just keep on pouring it all in like the suckers we are. And they keep on encouraging us to keep on doing it. And the fact that the war is not incredibly unpopular is amazing to me.
Well, because it's in Ukraine, right? And I think you know, it'll become incredibly unpopular if Zelensky gets his way and we start sending Americans over there. Right. You know, one other thing, too, a couple other things I wanted to talk about. I'm kind of rambling today. So feel free, guys, if you want to raise a topic, to go ahead and do that. Back to Charlene's initial thing that we're winning. And information is coming out that they don't want us to know about we're winning. I saw there was a new study by Northeastern University today that that essentially completely, you know, discredits once again the CDC, which, I mean, it's hard to discredit something that's been so discredited.
Yeah, I didn't discredit the CDC.
All along this on the CDC website, they've insisted that 92% of the American people who are eligible to be vaccinated, which is like everyone, including teeny babies, but have been vaccinated. Only 8% of Americans were unvaccinated because, again, they want you, if you didn't get the vaccination, to think that you're the weirdo, you're alone.
They can crush you.
They can crush you because there's just you against the whole mob. Well, a new study shows that actually, and this is by Northeastern University and apparently supported by a Kaiser Foundation study also, it's more like 25%.
And some say it's more like one third.
Right, exactly. More like one third of the people.
We're part of that one third. And so is Rev, and so is our dog, and so is Jenny's dog.
Exactly. And I think, so that's interesting. And again, that's just another sign. And they don't want you to know that, right? Because they still want you to, you know, I mean, they're still running those ads saying, oh, get your booster shot if you didn't get a new booster shot.
Yeah, I love that. I get little text messages, hey, your booster shots are available and ready to go. Oh, boy, thanks. Right. I've been waiting for that. And now that 8% are the people who have kept up their endless COVID shots. That's about 8%.
Right, exactly. And so you realize, well, there are a lot of people out there, because I kind of thought that, now granted, the circles we travel in, but, you know, I've been thinking, I know a lot of people who didn't get vaccinated, right? And so it's hard to say, but I think it's interesting as more information comes out about they're having to admit that there are myocarditis things. Alex Berenson does a great job. And, you know, Matt Taibbi and others keep doing a great job.
Rand Paul does just excoriated the Moderna president and kept on catching him in falsehoods, misinformation and everything else. And it's just, the guy was just pathetic.
It's come around now. Most people, I've seen other surveys, and this is again a common sense thing. You keep reading about all these like famous people who just suddenly died. They were perfectly healthy, then they suddenly died. And, you know, as I said before, it can be kind of like when you're looking for a red car, all of a sudden all you see are red cars, right? So once you start looking for unexpected deaths, I mean, the statistics out there are really much higher. But
morbidity rate is way up.
They talk about pilots, right? I mean, there's been a whole slew of pilots. There was one and a flight, I think, from Las Vegas was they say it's incapacitated, right? And it's like, what does that mean? The pilot was he drunk? I mean, you'd think that they would have noticed. So a passenger had to go help land the plane, right? So we're flying back from our Phoenix trip, and the plane was delayed, and the captain comes on and he says, "Oh, we've had to get a new first." Whatever officer, right? So we were waiting for the
old
first officer.
If you look out your window to the right on the stretcher, he's the one who just had the heart attack, and he won't be with us.
The immediate thought was vaccine. They made the guy get a vaccination, and he's now having a heart attack or something. You know what I mean? It's like, so people anymore, like Charlene said, the truth is getting out, and in a way, sometimes it's kind of not glad, but the fact that they don't ever answer any questions and they try to hide anything make it also free for us to like speculate wildly. You know, we can speculate baselessly too. But I did. That was the first thing I thought. I'm like, I bet it's a vaccine thing. I bet it's some kind of heart thing. Yeah. And they're, you know, because they've had to loosen the heart standards for the pilots, which is maybe not a good thing. Is somebody there? Want to talk?
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Is it Jacob? Yeah.
Yeah. Back in the 70s, when we were all a lot younger, there was a thing called stagflation. And they keep bringing it up today. Stagflation?
Okay.
So people are bringing it up now because we're having all this inflation. And at the same time, they can't raise the interest rates because of the banks. The stagflation was caused by about 10 years earlier was a bill called or an act called the Great Society, where Johnson pushed all this money into Medicaid and into Medicare. And that was like in today's numbers would be around $5 trillion. So that's why I mean, this thing just keeps happening over and over and over again, and the government can't learn that pushing all that money into the economy is going to raise the inflation.
Well, right. look at the 18th century economic problems of France, all of which were due to massive overspending.
Yeah,
I mean it's just not recently that governments always overspend. It's been going on ever since. You know, we've had currencies, and they could simply go ahead and print money.
I was at the mayor's forum a couple of weeks ago, and one of them brought up the fact that there's four commercial towers downtown that are in receivership.
Yes, yes. I mean, they can't lease them. Not only can they not lease them, they can't sell them. They can't do anything with them, right? I mean,
right.
You know, I was going to go into Denver and the economy and the mayor race and the East High School thing. So you follow Denver stuff. What do you?
Who do you like for mayor?
Kelly Brough.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the only reason is because I think the other candidates can't even operate a parking meter.
That's true. So, you know, I'm like, I don't know. I just
have you already voted?
Yeah.
Would you vote on the Park Hill thing?
No.
Yeah. Yay. Good for you. Yay.
And I'll tell you why. I think I told you guys this before. There was a candidate. What is it? A city council person by the name of Polly Flobeck.
Oh, yes.
She told me back in the 90s, she told me that the city will eventually be selling the parks for development.
Yes.
Thank you, Mayor Hancock, right? But here's my theory on what happened. So as long as the developer, I mean, in a bizarre way, Michael Hancock being owned by the developers was probably good for the city because the developers wanted to develop. They wanted people to buy into their developments, to buy their, you know, to lease their office spaces. So they controlled, I think, the mayor and some of these, the homeless situation, the crime situation, all of these things that are now out of control because the developers have developed everything. So they don't care anymore.
Well, they got some parks to go,
but not too many. I mean, a lot of it is. Well,
Wash,
I think
Wash Park.
But I don't think the developers don't care anymore. They don't care anymore.
No,
but you also have Parvensky, who created his own tax. You know, voted for his own tax.
Brilliant.
He went and bought a couple hotels, promising that there'd be services and there'd be security. Mm. And I think on Channel 4, maybe 2 months ago, there was a report that said, yes, they're filling up, but there's no security. And there are no there's no help or support or anything.
Right. Oh, no.
There you go.
It's just insane. Well, let me ask you a final question, then we'll let you go. What do you make of the whole East High School situation where, you know, all of a sudden the superintendent says, I don't care what the school board says. We're bringing back in school resource officers.
Well, that's true. I was going back and forth with Eric Sonderman on Facebook. And my first question was, where are the parents?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, this kid came, he had a gun. Where were the parents? Why didn't they stop?
Oh, I don't think you need to worry about a dad in that deal.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. And Eric had a meltdown.
Oh, he did.
He had a meltdown.
Poor Eric. What are you talking about? Poor Eric. Oh.
The parents at school takes care of children, Jacob. Yeah. No, not the parents.
Hey, God, what are you thinking, Jacob?
He said that's fascist to think that the parents should have a say in their children's education.
So. Yeah, I mean, I'm a parent. I went to the same, my kids went to the same private school I went to, and you better show up for parent teacher conferences,
yes.
Or else they made the kids suffer. It wasn't fair, but you better show up for those.
Right.
And then I don't know what they do in the public school systems, but obviously. It's not right. It's not good.
It's not working.
Okay.
All right. Hey, thank you.
Good points.
You know, and so that's – so apparently now today – so Tay Anderson is now saying, well
– Tay-Tay.
Tay-Tay is willing to talk about putting school resource officers back, but it has to be reimagined. I'm not sure what that means. I'm not sure what that means. But, you know, it's like Denver is so stupid. You just knee-jerk reaction out of politics. Once again, showing they could care less about the kids. But my question is, why was this kid even there? So he was kicked out of another school district for having a gun at school. And so their solution in Denver is to let him come to the Denver school. It doesn't occur to them that this, I mean, it's enough of a safety risk that they're having teachers pat him down. Now, I got to think there's some liability on the part of the school district for having teachers pat down somebody. I mean, teachers aren't trained to pat people down. In general, this is just my advice to any school principal, if you feel a kid is dangerous enough that you're patting them down every day before they come to school, maybe you should not let them come to that school.
That would be racist. You're being racist.
Here's the sad part about it. They totally failed this kid, right? At 17 years old, he shoots these two people, goes into the mountains, and then kills himself. So they failed everybody. They failed all of the other students who were clearly at risk there. I mean, you know, who knows what could have happened? They failed the teachers. I mean, but what you know, teachers, you know, hello, if you're a teacher there, raise your hand and say, I'm not patting this kid down. What if he has a gun? Hello. And if either you need to pat him down because he might have a gun or he doesn't have a gun, therefore you don't need to pat him down. But, you know, and again, they failed the kid. And now they're going to say, I mean, I'll give the superintendent credit for saying, all right, all you idiot school board people, we're going to go ahead and put the school resource officers back. But I don't know what Tay Anderson's reimagined. But this is what I was saying, though, talking about, you know, Denver in decline. It really is because the school districts and the economic, the sort of like the educational health of a school district and the economic health of the city are kind of like this. Don't you think? It's like, on one hand, if a city's doing well and people are coming in, that, you know, you need good school districts. If the school districts suck and you have schools where the teachers are having to pat down students and then get shot themselves, then that's bad. And then that, if you know, people are like, companies and families are like, I don't want to come to Denver. So then it just gets worse and worse.
You can just see downtown, you know, those are all downtown office buildings where people do not want to be located anymore. Nobody wants to be on the 16th Street Mall. And the mayor is on top of all of it. His frenetic pace after 12 years is just incredible. He's on the airwaves. He's walking the streets. He's talking to citizens. He's coming up with task force solutions. He's driving it. No. He's driving to Miami. That's where he's driving.
Once the developers quit, and I think I think Denver's going to get way worse before it gets better. I mean, because the school board is so politicized and so radical.
Well, that's you know, all the developers pulled out their money from.
Right. So you got crazy people running now.
Yeah. Well, you got teacher union idiots and Tay Anderson.
Well, and meanwhile, I was reading a thing. I mean, fewer than half, I guess I would say the majority of kids in Denver public schools are not, they do those CMAS tests, which we're getting all these emails because they're coming up in rev school, where essentially they measure student progress compared to year before. More that most kids in Denver public schools are not meeting or exceeding the expectations, right? And it just gets worse every year, right? So if you're going into fourth grade, not meeting expectations, but you graduate, well, now you go to fifth grade. Well, you're not, because they're just sort of standardized tests. So what does the legislature want to do in Colorado?
Yeah.
Well, they want to get rid of those because we don't want to measure that. Yeah, we don't want to measure that. So all of that ties together. And I think, you know, this is what I think. If you're a voter in Denver and, you know, like, you know, Jacob, I don't know, maybe you should look into the suburbs. It's like, it's a thing. Yeah. If you're in Denver, you look to the suburbs. If you're in the suburbs, you look to Texas.
Yeah,
or something like
Wyoming.
That. Because I think it's just going to get worse. And this is my prediction. And I've said this, I don't think Denver is going to elect a white mayor, no matter who it is. I mean, I predict that it'll be Leslie Herod or Lisa Calderon in a runoff, right? I mean, a communist, right? Well, you know, I don't know. I just think Denver voters historically are insane, wouldn't you say?
Well, not historically, but the fact that the present mayor got elected 12 years ago is when the city lost any chance.
Right. Okay. Oh, and then this is from Sandra. Julie, it's not only in Denver, it's spreading to all of Colorado. That's true. This was from Leo. Yeah, not just trained to pat them down, but not trained to disarm. Well, yeah, exactly. Leo, that's the question.
Oh, you got a gun here. Yeah, I do. Boom.
Yeah. I mean, if they don't have, you know, concealed carry, they don't want teachers armed there. So, you know, just have them do everything.
Sacrifice them.
Just sacrifice them.
We just lost a couple of union teachers. What are they crying about?
Well, then it's from Stephen Dunn. Teachers tell me over and over again, when their little angel does something wrong, it's a teacher's fault. They don't want to parent, too busy and too selfish. And then Sandra, we need to fight back against these new damn gun laws. Now, folks, support the Rocky Mountain gun owners and the other gun associators that are fighting against this. Yeah, you know, Dave Williams, the newly elected Republican state chairperson, put out emails today. They're a bunch of bills, gun bills being debated in the legislature today, some like 80 amendments. And he was what the Democrat, and I don't know what's happening with that, but the Democrats were going to try to pull some parliamentary procedure.
They don't want a filibuster. Yeah.
Right, to not let people debate. But my guess is, guys, it's going to pass. I mean, you know,
really?
I think, you know, they had hundreds of people, and this is idiocy. So all these East High School students, this is my thing. So all the East High School students, you know, went,
are walking out because their CMAT scores or whatever they're called, they're going up enough, and they need greater instruction, more vigor, and more homework.
They're
hitting the streets for those things that would actually improve their life. No, they're not doing that. What are they doing?
The Capitol en masse to protest gun violence. It's maybe if you tell the kids, if you leave the school to go to a protest,
we'll shoot you.
Then, you know, you get, I mean, maybe if you told kids you need to stay in the classroom and learn how to read and write and do arithmetic, maybe they would do a little bit better. Maybe if you actually enforced laws, you wouldn't have more criminals. I mean, it just called me crazy. But if you tell criminals and would-be criminals and potential criminals that, look, we're not going to prosecute you really for anything unless you're a parent and you speak out at a school board meeting. I don't know. There's zero consequence. There's no risk to being a criminal. It just seems to me that would result in more criminals. I don't know.
You never know.
Call me crazy, but Democrat policies at work.
All right, everybody. It's end of party Friday.
Yeah.
We need to go party as we fight the floods upstairs. But we'll all see you on Monday. And thank everybody for listening and watching.